And this is Mike. Welcome to Stitchin' and Bitchin', the Making the Cut Watch-Along Podcast. Tonight, we're watching Episode 5 of Season 1, Streetwear. What's up, Caroline? We're going to Tokyo. Are you super excited? You got your bags packed?
I do have my bags packed. I am very excited. I feel like that this is Jaewon's challenge. I'm really hoping that she steps it up and does something amazing. I think her background with Adidas is just going to really match so well with this. And then she says she likes to bring in her Korean culture. I just think this is just like a perfect challenge for her. Who do you think is going to really struggle on this one?
I also agree with you. I think Jaewon is the one that we've seen that kind of comes to mind. You know, I'm expecting her to bring it. This seems maybe like it's going to be in her wheelhouse. You know, she's got those, the kind of fashion, like Adidas clothes we've seen. And it just seems like right up her alley. I think Renat, it may be cut out good for this too. Not because we've seen streetwear from her, but I think she has produced some of the most, you could go buy this at a store and wear it out looks so far that are like fashionable. So I think I'm expecting good stuff from her. I'm worried about Sabato. His monk thing doesn't really scream streetwear to me in any form or fashion. You know, the hoods and the kind of flowy gowns that we've seen him do. You know, he's not so much with the fit as much as he is with like the baggy loose look. It's gonna be interesting. I mean, this is the first episode in the back half. You know, so this is very much a middle episode. You want to see movement, either people moving up or moving down, but just somewhere. You want to see people moving out of the middle. We've got rid of a lot of contestants. I think there's, only seven people left at this point? A lot of changes as we moved to Tokyo tonight.
Hey, speaking of changes, I understand we're going to get some new judges and jettison some old judges.
We are saying goodbye to Corinne Reitfeld, the former editor-in-chief of Vogue Paris. She is not coming to Japan with us. And Nicole Richie will be back for the finale, but will not be in the next 4 episodes. Well, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. So she'll be back for episode 10, the finale. Joining the panel will be only one judge, Italian fashion blogger Chiara Ferragni. She is a social media influencer. She's got like one of those Instagram accounts. She runs a fashion Instagram account, you know, 17, 18 million followers. Very influential. She is joining the judges panel with Naomi and Altazora and, well, I guess just Heidi going forward. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be, you know, one thing I wished that we had seen from Corinne was a lot of commentary and a lot of critique. You know, she had some kind of opinion given what she did for so many years running Vogue Paris. But I feel like it was kind of a bust. Did you think we got our money's worth for Corinne in the first 4 episodes, Caroline?
I don't at all. I honestly don't even know what her voice sounds like. And I feel like her opinions were few and far between. So I don't feel like we got a big bang for our buck with her. It just did not seem to be her medium here. Like she's just better to be in print.
I think maybe she wasn't comfortable in a rapid fire judges critique round. Maybe her thing is she's behind the scenes. Maybe she was very influential in the stuff we didn't get to see on the show, which you and I have talked at length about, drives us crazy. We want to see the judges conferring and talking. But that being said, whatever it is, I don't think she made very much of an impact on the show. So I feel
not
like...
Not to me. I feel like, honestly, it seemed to me like she... Maybe she's a very, very, very thoughtful person and is fantastic when it comes to, you know, writing out her opinions. But when it came to just expressing herself on a judge's panel, she wasn't even like a part of it.
I mean, the question is, you know, can she give you a thoughtful response on why cerulean is an important color? But maybe she can't do that on her feet in a video judge's capacity. What do you expect from Chiara? What would you like to see from her joining the panel? Now she's taking the place of 2 people. So that's a big personality. You're filling the hole of 2 judges.
I want her to speak loudly and proudly about whatever it is she wants to say. And she doesn't have to be, you know, overly critical. She doesn't have to be super nice. I just need her to just have an opinion and go for it. I know that Naomi is getting a lot of guff from watchers about her being too critical. And to that, I say, boo, she's a judge. Let her judge. Want her to say what she thinks.
If you want these people to be coddled, well, then you give them $1 million. You know, if you don't want someone to have a critical eye and tell you a professional, you know, model who has lived her entire life, literally probably 95% of her life in the eye of the fashion world. If you don't value her opinion, good or bad, then you put up your money and you go sponsor Martha or whoever has gone home with your money.
Exactly. And it's so important to have that feedback as a viewer. We are, you know, having our own opinions about these things, but also, I mean, I really want to know what people in the industry are looking at and what they think is the next cool thing. And so I value everything she has to say, and I want her to speak bluntly and just get to the point. That's the fun of the judging section.
100%. I mean, I enjoy these shows, but I don't know what I'm talking about. I don't have a professional opinion. Nowhere close. I'm not even in the same city, let alone the ballpark of an informed professional opinion. I just know what I kind of feel, like what my gut says. So I need people like Naomi and Heidi and Corrine. I wish she would have said something. And Joseph Altazora, a designer himself, and now Kiara, who does this essentially as her job, you know, critiques fashion. Like, I want to hear what they have to say. It educates me. It helps me form my opinions on what I'm seeing. Because not that you have to agree with everything, but if I disagree with something, I would like to know why I disagree with it. You know, and I think the judges are key to that. So.
I agree. Well, so listeners, for you guys, this format for this podcast is a watch along. So you guys get to come on to Amazon with us, and we're all going to start off at 00000. And Mike is going to count us down, and we're all going to hit play at the same time so that you can listen to our commentary. And we would love to hear your feedback over on Pod Clubhouse. If you'd like to join us over on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, we'd love to hear what you have to say about these episodes.
So you should all be at 000 Amazon Original up on your screen. I'm going to say make it work. When I say work, you hit play. That way we are all synced and we will have a great time watching together. And this coronaverse, let's all get on the couch and watch Making the Cut together. Make it work. Love that little Amazon smile.
I know. It makes me happy. All right. We're remembering last week, Mike, and what a debacle that was to have this like one day hustle up. It was like 7-hour challenge, right? And it was all to suss out Troy.
It was, I mean, it really very much was targeted at Troy. You know, we had got Will to go home. He had been on the bubble. Heidi did not want Troy to stay. Tim was rolling his eyes in the background. You know, Naomi stepped in, put her cred on the line for him. And they called basically this emergency episode. You know, they changed it up. It seems undisputed fact that they changed it up to make it this scrap piece, quick fire, 7-hour challenge. And Troy, you know, he sink or swim, and he sank like a rock. And Troy
he
went
sure
home.
Did. Johnny won last week, and I liked his striped dress. It's not something that I necessarily would wear, but I understood it in a rocker girl's closet. It made total sense to me. I am excited to see our crew head to Tokyo, Mike. I think this is going to be so much fun. It's going to be such a cool setting, super inspirational. Have you ever been there before?
I have not been. It's definitely in my bucket list. There's a lot of Asia I would like to see. I think just culture-wise and history-wise, and it seems like such a separate world from everything I've ever kind of experienced. So let's talk about the people that we don't spend a lot of time with. What are your feelings on Johnny, who really I didn't notice before last week? And tell me what you think about like Sander, who I feel has not gotten a lot of spotlight in the show so far.
Johnny, I really like him because I am a girl who enjoys an edgy outfit. I love the leather. I love all that stuff. Sander, he is just so in the background for me. He's neither good nor bad nor anything. He's just kind of there. So I'm looking forward to seeing what he has to bring now that we have a lot less contestants in the pool.
When I'm looking at this group walk down the street here, I feel like I have an idea of who they all are, you know, at least a snapshot idea. Like I could see them and think what something I'm getting. I still don't have that feel for Sander. A little bit for Johnny. I mean, I guess now I have this kind of leather clad rocker look, what I was calling like, I think like the Edge, you know, meets Freddie Mercury rocker look from like last week, which I totally works for me, you know, but I, still Renat, Esther, Jawan, they definitely stand out as being very consistent. Sabato, I think, is excellent at what he does, but I think he has a very limited range on what he can do.
Oh my goodness, Mike, we are going to move over to Tim and Heidi. Check out this ensemble on Tim.
It's like a pinstripe suit meets a utilitarian jumpsuit.
Yeah. What do you think of Heidi's look?
I like it a lot. I think she looks fantastic. I love the top. I love those pants. I mean, I think you need to be really kind of tall and thin to make those kind of high-waist pants work. What's your take on high-waist pants? Yes, yay or nay?
I think they can be very flattering, and they can be very bad. They can make your butt look super long. You have to have this just the right yoke in the back. See how it makes a little bit of a V pointing like right at her butt crack. That's a very important part of it.
It's a little bit of a wedgie sitch. It definitely feels
important,
like
important to have the V.
I like the V. So she's basically made him dressed like a character from like Pokemon. Or like a Run DMC like extra that was fired on the set of like a music video.
My God. It's super funny. Super duper funny. The whole thing. So have you seen this whole thing? See, like, do you recognize that like fanny pack look thing that he has now like over across his arm? Those are like the fanny packs of the day. Do you remember when like moms wore those?
Oh, sure, sure. They're definitely making a comeback. There's a comic, Jason Manzoukas. I don't know if you know who Zooks is. He's a... You've probably seen him. He was in The League. He did a guest stint as Derek on Good Place.
Okay,
He is. He proudly rocks a fanny pack constantly when he's out and about and traveling.
I think we're supposed to call them something else. They're like belt bags, I've heard them called. We're not supposed to say fanny pack anymore. But then the way that you wear them, like bandolero style, they're like across your chest, like it's like your extra ammo. I think that's super funny. So here's the challenge, right? We're heading over to the Harajuku district area. We're going to check it all out. I'm super excited.
The center of Japanese streetwear. I'm not familiar with Harajuku. Is this something you're a little more clued into the fashion scene than I am? Is this a Japanese style that you're familiar with?
I know them from the Gwen Stefani concerts when they have the Harajuku girls in the background. What I mainly know is that they're fun, they're colorful, they're very playful looking outfits. This is what I would want them to show me. I would certainly hope that they can do that this time. Otherwise, they're really not hitting the mark.
When you say Gwen Stefani, and I think I know the kind of background dancers you're talking about, you're talking like the Ain't No Hollaback Girl, like background dancers, like that kind of style, kind of hair.
Yeah.
And like very colorful kind of outfits.
Very colorful, very playful, roughly silly, you know, just very playful, very playful.
That's all right. So here's the challenge. If you're not watching, you're just listening to this. So each designer has to come up with a 2-piece set, a streetwear Harajuku inspired showstopper set, and then an interpretation of that is accessible and sellable and marketable. There's a feature here where they can also print their own brand or logoing on the clothes, because a feature of streetwear is that it's often logoed. It's very much associated with brands. Think Puma, think Adidas, you know, big brands on the clothing, but not like sweatpants, you know, the something in the middle there. Am I hitting what streetwear is?
I think so. Yes. I think that for me, there is a comfort level and like a movement level that is like super stylish. I mean, I was using the language athleisure, but that's like not exactly this. Streetwear, I want to say, is a lot more edgy, a lot more like on trend, whatever's happening right this second is what you're wearing. So I just really want fun outfits. I'm really hoping for something fun.
All right. So they're being encouraged here to go out into the Harajuku district of Tokyo and find a muse, be inspired. This is a sequence that they do every week. And I think sometimes it's useful. Sometimes it's just kind of a time filler. But I wanted to talk about, did you see the escalator is going to be the runway? That's fascinating. I think that's a pretty cool spin on presenting the clothes at the end. I'm excited. Are you excited for an escalator fashion show?
I like it a lot because I feel like we will be able to get some different angles on the outfits that we haven't been able to get. And plus, just for God's sake, Mike, I hope it slows the fashion show down, because every other episode, I felt like it's gone so fast. I just haven't gotten a chance to see it.
Well, for insurance reasons, they probably cannot speed up the escalator. That would be
unsafe. I don't think they should.
So we have John. So Johnny is taking pictures of nature and making kind of a honeycomb print based on the nature set. So that's interesting right off the bat. He's embracing the print style. What's going on here with Sabato?
I feel like he is getting off track instantly. I really don't like that he isn't finding the younger people to talk to, and that he's kind of gravitated towards this older man who apparently is his friend.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we skipped over before, but didn't they say earlier in this episode that Sabato actually lived in Japan for a while? So I guess in a city of 20 million people, if anyone's going to run into someone they know, maybe it would be him. So he's looking to combine a jersey knit, which works for me. That says streetwear, but chiffon is more of a question mark for me for streetwear.
He is such a confusing designer when it comes to trying to get out of his comfort zone. He's so good at the flowing, beautiful, goddess-looking kind of dress, but gosh, when it comes to adapting to something else, he is going to struggle.
Or something just kind of hip-cutting edge seems to be a blind spot for him. He seems to have a very hard ceiling on his creativity, you know, or at least what he can produce. Maybe not what he can see in his head, but he seems to have a hard ceiling on what he can actually make happen and create.
I agree.
So we have Renat is looking at Japanese construction men in their jumpsuits. She's taking pictures of some graffiti look.
Do you like it when they do the graffiti stuff? Because I feel like that is a commonplace business we've seen on Project Runway, where someone takes a picture of graffiti and then they're like, oh, this is inspirational.
Well, I think for so much, especially of America, I think graffiti still has such a negative connotation to it. So when people see it in an artistic way, I think even still in 2020, it blows people's minds on wow. I always just thought graffiti was dirty. When, you know, seeing it this way, it makes me change my mind. I think it's still a well people can go to and be blown away by for the masses. So Esther looks very out of place here among all these Harajuku girls that are just full of color and pop, and she is just all in black.
I know. I think that she is going to struggle so hard. She cannot afford not to use any color here. She really, really, really needs to use some.
Yeah, the same way I think Sabato needs to get out of his comfort zone here to make something a little edgier and street-wise, I think Esther's challenge here is going to be using something that's not just black. I think she can make the style of clothes fine, and I think she'll probably do a good job. I think she's got a good eye for that, but her color palette is just one color. You know,
she just can't do that.
So we had a little bit of Jawan too, talking about that she was going to incorporate some bright colors, and you know, she's got some print and logoing ideas. So I'm really excited to see what she produces in this episode and follow her along.
I'm excited that they get to make their own print and use their logos on their clothing. I can't really picture so far. We know the names of some of the brands, but I haven't really seen the logos. So I'm interested to see how that plays in.
Right, but a huge part. I mean, again, these guys are all the one non-designer with their own brand went home. So all of these people have a brand of some sort. So they have to have some kind of logoing. Johnny making me very jealous here with his ice cream cone.
I appreciate how much he's like embracing the culture and just being like, you know, like one of the best ways to get your sort of mind wrapped around the people and the culture is to like eat the food and walk around the streets and stuff. So I love it that he's taking it more playfully.
Well, that was Heidi's advice, when she set them loose. Go get immersed in the culture. Go be inspired. Can we talk about real quick? Jawan's outfit, I think, is really gorgeous. It just really works. I think she looks very pretty, but not anything like I would feel like she would design herself. I don't know if you did. She was wearing just like a very kind of flowy blouse, the polka dot blouse.
Yeah.
That's a very, very interesting style for her.
It seems reserved to me.
Very working woman. Like that's a very working woman outfit kind of thing. Maybe not with the wrap, but yeah, just not her style.
And kind of like buttoned up, right? Like she just seems like more like loose and easy.
But I like it though. I mean, it's refreshing. I'm not crazy about her style. It just doesn't speak to me, but I like her in this. So I wish this was more her style than what she's wearing.
That's funny. Well, I'm really looking forward to seeing what she actually creates, because I think that, you know, she's got such a cool eye. I really, really, really hope you see it.
Yeah, I'm interested in this green fabric that Renat is wearing. The plaid. I like plaid. I like plaid and ginghams and all those kind of checker patterns. There was kind of like a smoothie, almost like nature kind of camo fabric she was using there. Curious to see what she does.
I like it. I like how it's like bright and it pops. And I think that that's going to look great in a fashion show. That's one of the things that I feel like is an element that sometimes is forgotten when it comes to actually walking the runway. Like they kind of forget like, oh yeah, this needs to pop. This needs to be noticed. It can't blend into the escalator here, you know?
So you have Megan and Johnny both talking about doing a paper bag pants. That sounds like something that's kind of very loose. Like, doesn't,
yeah, and I believe if I'm right, and I may be wrong, so people can holler at me if I'm wrong. I think it has to do with the waistband. So it has to do with the way that, like, if you took like a paper bag and you know how you kind of gather it with your hand to kind of close it, that mm-hmm. it has to do with the closure of the waist. So it's more of like a pleated kind of gathered waistline.
The Lego Masters is doing this thing, if you were watching that show, where they're doing like a Lego Learn moments, where they, if someone's using something like a cool feature of like Lego that you wouldn't like think about, and they kind of give you like a quick tutorial on what that means. I would like this show to do, when someone says paper bag pant, I wouldn't mind like a little sidebar of this is that, you know?
Yeah, I would like that too. Like, it's kind of like the Good Doctor when he's like thinking about something and then he like puts up a little schematic.
Well, maybe, you know, instead of watching Heidi and Tim eat Roy oysters, which look delicious. I'm all about the seafood here in this market that we're watching. But maybe instead of this, maybe have them give a quick, you know, fashion tips thing. That way we get to see them and they educate us, you know?
I would love that if they gave us like a little tutorial. I mean, technically when they did the little like street makeover there, like they could have used some terminology there and that would have helped us out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Would you really eat this stuff from this market?
100%. Everything I have seen here, just yum, num, 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 num.
Oh, wow. No.
Edamame? Who doesn't like edamame?
Edamame, sure.
That's edamame.
Raw fish.
We got a Ginsu Knife 2000 cut through steel pipes. Okay. Look at Heidi's animation doing the backpack kid dance, the floss. Very trendy.
Backpack kid dance.
Do you think Heidi Klum has ever done the backpack kid dance in her life?
I bet she has, because she has like 4 kids. So I bet she has. Yeah,
that's true. I bet she's fantastic doing it too. All right. So we've got, we're at start day 2. Everyone is opening up their bags. They've got their seamstress work is being returned to them. What is that red color that Sander is working with? There's a burst of red and black coming from his world.
I hope that it's red and black and crazy coming from his world. I want that. We need some bright colors going on.
All right. So what do we think about this Johnny? Like, it almost looks like the honeycomb. It almost looks like a snakeskin to me, or some kind of future like Matrix meets a snakeskin design. What do you think about it? It's got some pink pop. It's kind of green and black otherwise.
So is it like, it's supposed to be like a zoom in of the flowers that he saw, but
he took the flowers, he blew them up and then cut them into, using a computer program, he made a honeycomb design. So they got pasted over and over again. And then it looks like he dyed colors on top of it.
Okay. I mean, I think that that's a lot of work and a lot of manipulation. And so I'm giving him thumbs up for that.
I mean, it almost looks like a satin fabric, some kind of shiny, the kind of thing that like you instinctively kind of reach out and try and touch when you see it, but you're not sure why. It just kind of makes you want to, like, what does that feel like? That's what that fabric looks like to me.
I love that. Hmm. I love it.
What do you think? Sabato obviously being challenged and he's acknowledging it. I have to imagine this has to not feel good to him. You know, this cannot be the design. I mean, I have to think he wanted to do Shaolin monk challenge. What is this?
I'm surprised at him that he doesn't, you know you're coming on a show like this, right? You know there is going to be a variety of challenges. Why would you not get some, you know, just ideas in your head of like, okay, if we have to do one that's like a formal look, I'm going to do this. If I have to do something that's like a streetwear, I'm going to do this. Like, how are you not coming in a little bit prepared?
Yeah. I mean, we've talked about this. I mean, everyone who's reached a trouble point in this season, I feel like we have had that discussion during that episode of how could you not expect that? Or maybe you did and you just thought maybe you had other strengths that would carry you through. We passed it a couple minutes ago, but I want to back up. Did you see that fishnet netting thing that Sander was wearing? I'm very curious to see how that plays into his design.
I'm not sure about it. However, Harajuku does include a lot of layering. And so maybe he's going to do some sort of layering with some other material, which I'm okay with that. That works.
Oh, we got everyone packing up for their seamstresses. Oh, wait, was I wrong? Is this the end of day one? Did I have
that? That was the end of day one, yes.
So what they're doing now is the end of day one or the end of day two?
One.
Oh, okay. No, I think this is the end of day 2. I think they already came back for the morning. I think they're finishing up for the end of day two. I think the next day is model day. I think we've just been talking a lot. I think the episode's just been moving fast.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
Sabato is having a mental breakdown. How do you think he handles the pressure here? Because this is not the first time we have seen him go off and just kind of look into the nether distance. What do you think's going through his head right now?
I mean, I think that this is just one of those times where he is not adaptive. I mean, he has his look. He's got a very specific look, and that's it. That's what he does, and nothing else. So I just don't see him being able to weather this storm. I think he's not going to make it very much longer.
Oh, you were right. That was just the end of day one. We did not talk that much. Okay, yeah, I have the same feeling for him. You know, I think you put him in a haute couture situation or a gala ball or evening dress or evening wear of any kind of sort. I think the diagram, the Venn diagram overlap of his abilities and those challenges very much meet up. You know, his long flowing drapey gowns and the hoods and all that very much, I think, fits with that. But if you're going to have him make athleisure or streetwear or sexy nightclub wear, anything like that, anything outside of that formal evening wear brand, I think he's in trouble.
I don't feel good. I do not feel good. And yeah. I don't think he handles stress very well anyway. Like, he just kind of runs away and he stops being productive, and that's problematic.
Yeah, he loses kind of the composure that he always seems to have in the workroom, starts smoking, and just looks like he's about to break down completely.
So,
we have Sander working as a model for Johnny, so that's pretty funny. You know what I like about this show, and I don't think we talk about it enough, how not catty everyone is. They all seem to be willing to help each other. I mean, there's $1 million on the line. They all seem to be kind of willing to help each other. They all joke. There's no like muttering like "what an asshole" like under their breath, and I feel like a lot of shows have that, but we're not seeing any of that here.
I think partially because we're not seeing the parts of really where they live very much, and I think that that's a huge portion of when that cattiness comes into play. And also, I think that everyone has a lot more respect for each other. I mean, they've all been proven to have their own lines and stuff. You can't really dog anybody out. You know, it might not be your look, but I mean, everyone's accomplished, so there's just really no room for that.
Okay, so we're going through Jawan's look here. So there's a couple things going on. She's got these detachable bottom pants kind of hooked together around the knee. That's her runway look. In her accessible look, she has a very colorful, very Japanese-inspired looking block letters that are her name in Korean, but she's arranged it almost like a geometric design and not lettering. What do you think about what we're seeing here from her, the detached pants and the colorful top?
So I like the ideas of it, but I don't feel like it's sophisticated enough. So what I'm trying to say is, like, I feel like it's a kind of a kid's version of streetwear, because like the plastic clasps and stuff, that seems very like safety-ish, like you would put on a little kid's outfit. And then even same with the colors, like there's something about it that it goes beyond youthful into like infantile that I don't like.
I think I'd agree with that, though. I think, I mean, my impression of, you know, just, you know, reading mangas and watching a lot of anime because my son is big into it, I feel like there is a very infantile, juvenile aesthetic that creeps into young person, especially in their 20s, early 30s, late teens, obviously, design aesthetic that does seem very childish, though. So that didn't strike me as weird. I expected more of that, honestly, based on what I've seen of the Japanese culture. Now, this is not necessarily a Japanese streetwear design, but we are in Tokyo, you know, and you would think more people would be inspired by that kind of concept. So I guess, you know, I expected a little more Sailor Moon from everyone in a way.
So. Interesting. Okay.
Ton of black here with Esther. How are you feeling about no color? Well, we're not seeing any color here, and Tim is calling her out on it. Do you agree with his criticisms here?
Yeah, I think that it's a terrible idea, and I don't understand why she's trying to stand on principle that, you know, she does black and that's what she does, but that's not the challenge, and you can't just say that, you know, oh, well, too bad. You can't do that. You've got to do what the challenge asks of you.
Right. Again, and a very much an issue, I think, for her and for Sabato in this episode. Well, they're so, they have such stubborn ideas on their brand. You know, hers is not the style of clothes as much as the color of clothes. Everything she has made, I think, has been black, basically. She's head to toe black from her hair and hat down to her, you know, that's just what she does. And so, but, you know, Tim's talking a lot here about opportunities and missing opportunities and lost opportunities. And he's right to call her out that no color on gorgeous clothes is going to be a problem. And I have to agree with him.
I really agree with that. And how much they pointed out that streetwear is a $1 billion industry, to overlook it and act as if, you know, like, I don't know, somehow you're above it or, you know, you just don't do that. It's a $1 billion industry. You can't afford not to dip your toe in.
I like the outside of this coat Renate has here. She needs to do something on the inside collar there. The white or whatever, that collar is just a little too stark. It needs something different, something to really offset it. What do you think of the blue top here? The little, I don't even know what you would call it. I guess she was the one who was inspired by the construction worker. So maybe it's a blue collar work look that she's going for on the mannequin with the kind of green arrow down. What do you think of her design so far?
I don't really love the baby blue. I wish she went with like either a navy or something else. The baby blue doesn't exactly work for me. I would have picked something either way more colorful or, I don't know, just different. Again, it's not quite the right like color palette for me.
So we're looking at Johnny's design and what do you think of this Cobra Kai look that we're seeing here on the mannequin with Johnny? This is his accessible look or his?
I don't know. I mean, I appreciate that he worked his logo in on the bell part. Like that was clever. But I would like something a little bit more sleek. It's a little bit too costumey for me.
It's a little too sweep the leg, Johnny. I mean, that's what it is for me. It's that top is very, sensei, you know, sweep the leg. I'm not sure. That being said, I love the other top. What we're seeing so far of that, the green nature honeycomb look, something about it just keeps drawing my, when it's in the frame, I keep looking at it, even if it's in the corner. So
I like that. I mean, and again, when you're talking fashion show, that's a big thing. You want something that's going to grab people's eye and make people watch.
All right. So we're getting the under the gun talk here with Sabato. And
he needs it.
But this is not an avant-garde. He's talking about his friend inspiring him and being avant-garde, but avant-garde is not streetwear.
And I don't even think that what he's doing is avant-garde. That's the thing. His friend is wearing a very wacky hat and a very interesting shirt. What he's making is so bland and so reserved.
But Tim is praising this colorful horizontal striped fabric. I can't even tell what kind of fabric that is. And this is the one that he bought 9 meters of, which is a lot of fabric, I feel like. Tim's loving it. He is very not happy with the funeral wear from the Handmaid's Tale set gown here that we're seeing.
I like the cutouts. I like the cutouts on the really long black one. But that's where my love of it ends. Like, I don't get the rest of it. I don't know where you're getting straight from that. I like the hood. I like the cutouts, but he needs to do something more with it. I don't know what. And then the stripe outfit, I mean, it's interesting. I think that it has that interesting, like, kind of creepy-ish material that seems like it's purposely wrinkly. And that's interesting texture-wise, but I don't get it for the challenge. I mean, what about this is Harajuku girl? I don't see it at all.
Well, you know, I agree with you. Very not Harajuku girl from what we've seen when Esther and Megan and Jawan were in that club. If that's Harajuku girl, I don't see any of that on. I see very little of that in the room, honestly, but very much not on Sabato's mannequin. But I agree with Tim that it's impressive to see something different from him, and that horizontal gray hued dress is different than everything Sabato has made so far. So I'm impressed with that. You know,
that's very true. It's not the super duper flowy sheer material look that he's been doing?
It's not. He has a little cinch at the waist, so it actually looks a little tailored. But it's just not. I don't even think it has a hood. You know, it's just very different from the standard design that we've kind of seen come from him. So, I mean, you know, but Tim walks away and he's like, Tim has a great opinion. And then he looks at his two pieces and he said, but I really like the black dress. The one that Tim was underwhelmed by is the one that he's doubling down on. That's not a good sign.
Bad choices. Everyone seems to be so exhausted. You know, everyone's talking about here about how they're just so tired and that the stress is getting to them. You know, watching Sabato sit outside and just smoking and everyone just rubbing their faces all the time. I feel like this is really getting to everyone.
Yeah. So, and now we're the next level of stress comes where we're talking to, we're doing model fit. You know, this is where you really
definitely my favorite. This is when I feel like the looks are really obviously going to work or not, when you start to really see it.
Yes. Oh, see, I like what she did there. I like how Renata has fixed the inner collar of her green jacket. She put the checkered plaid fabric on the inside. I really, really like that now.
Yeah, it's really cute and cool. I see very much how Renata talks about how she's very like gender neutral. I remember that about her brand, and I can really see that actually with like that blue top and pants. That is a very, very neutral outfit, for good or for bad.
So we're watching the striped dress, Sabato's striped dress, and it's very not flattering on the model. It looks like a poncho. An ugly Betty poncho is kind of how it's fitting on her. But he's disregarding that Tim says that he likes it. I feel like he needs to make it work. But he's talking about scrapping it now. I said that without even realizing it. You know, he's talking about scrapping the one thing Tim liked that he did, and completely doubling down on this long black Handmaid's Tale dress.
I like how Johnny is trying so much to try to help him and be like, wait a minute, isn't that the one that Tim said was awesome?
Well,
trying to guide him, like, don't fuck yourself here.
Right. Again, and I really appreciate that. Like, what does Johnny owe him at all? But it's just the kind of dynamic that the show seems to have is they're not so much competitors as they are just people both all trying to reach a goal. But you are less than 24 hours away from your runway and you're talking about scrapping the one good design you had. That's bad. That's a bad move. That's bad karma. And you are not, you know, you are showing your ceiling, I feel like.
I think so too. And I think it's just judgment wise. I just think that this is going to be glaring. I think Tim's going to have a real problem with this.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, they don't pay Tim the big bucks to do the show. It's not Heidi's show. It's Tim and Heidi. They don't have him come around for him to just hear himself talk as awesome as it is. You know, you have to, we saw what happened to Troy, you know,
yeah, right.
I would be very hard pressed to go against him, especially.
I definitely would not, because at the end of the day, he is going to have your back. And so I feel like, you know, why would you walk away from the one person who could actually prop you up if you needed something whispered in Heidi's ear? Why the hell wouldn't you use that?
Okay, so Johnny's having a panic attack here. He has opened up his tech bag left over from the seamstress. The seamstresses have done their work there. It's the morning of day three, and none of Johnny's work looks like it was done. Nothing was sewn. Nothing was put together. Why do you think these guys keep having so much problems with the seamstresses in the morning?
That is a super duper good question. I cannot understand what is happening. The fact that he just gets stuff back like in just like pieces and there's nothing even done on it, it really makes me wonder what was put in the tech pack. What did he explain? Because that is just, I would cry my eyes out if I got there and it was like that.
So we are seeing here Jawan with the Korean name, colorful Korean name top jacket look on a white pant. And I think that looks like a Jawan creation to me. It looks very much like the other white piece with the red trimming outfit she made a couple episodes ago, what I called her Missy Elliott look. That looks like streetwear to me. That looks like streetwear in Japan to me. So I'm curious to see what that actually looks like when it's finished and on the runway. You know, we haven't really gotten a lot of Jawan here. Do you think that's a good or bad sign? she's been basically, her and Megan have basically been invisible this episode. Megan especially.
I'm not exactly sure what to make of it, because it does feel odd that with only seven contestants left, there's no reason to leave anyone out of the conversation here. And I think that they're really working hard. I really love how Megan added those little, they're not even socks. She just made like a cuff for around like the ankle to make it look like it's one of those like thigh high sock kind of pulled down kind of things, like athletic looking socks. Very cool. Very cool detail.
I really like that Renat is helping Johnny with his work right now. That she has finished her stuff and she is pitching in and doing actual sewing for him right now. I think that's awesome. All right. I don't get, you need to walk me through this. This is something Project Runway has often did, and I always kind of lost me a little bit in the weeds. I just didn't understand it. Talk to me about the look and the finishing and the hair and the makeup and why is this something that these designers really need to be worrying about?
For me, I think that as a consumer, and if I was a buyer for a department store or whatnot, I would be looking at this and I want to try to understand the person who's going to be purchasing these clothes and what are they going to be doing? Where are they going? So the way that you style them helps me understand what my demographic is and helps me understand what like the market is for that. If you make them all fussy and everything like that, and I'm like thinking like, okay, well, I only have like, you know, 1,000 people who come in our store for like a formal wear look. But if you come in styling it with like sneakers and, you know, a ball cap and stuff, kind of like how Juwan did, I'm like, oh, okay, I get this girl better. I could market this to, you know, this age range or these people. So for me, it's a lot about the designer, kind of like the tech pack. It's like their like nonverbal way of telling me, the consumer, and the buyers who and how they should actually go about selling this.
Ooh, we're getting a look at Heidi Klum here and this neon green, I guess probably her version of a streetwear look. Oh, this looks like just a belted mini dress, but no, it's like a little slit skirt over a top, but it's like a
tunic top and a skirt, but that whatever she's wearing underneath it is very interesting because it's like a black, it's kind of like a bra kind of sort of, but then there's more to it. If she moves around a little bit more, you can actually see like kind of like between her boobs, there's like more clasps there.
Yeah, it looks like it's kind of squishing and pushing up a little bit, but then she's also got the necklace that's kind of plunging right down into her cleavage. Very eye-catching. I did not even realize Tim was standing next to her literally for 3 minutes.
That's so really funny. He does blend into the background next to her for sure in this outfit.
On the whole, I've not been great with Tim's styling. I don't know. I think he needs to look at whoever he hired to style him for this series. It's been a very samey look and none of it really has been working for him.
Well, and I don't understand what this, I mean, I get him, but if we're going to try to tell these designers that you need to get with the inspiration, you need to get with where you are, I would say that to Tim. Look at this look that we have right now. I want to say, hey, this is not Easter Sunday church. Like, what is with the peach tie and everything? Like, you're in Tokyo, like, I understand you have your look, but you should, you know, adjust to where you are.
So we're getting an introduction to the new judge, Kiara. Heidi, you know, talking about her over 17 million followers. I actually think it's closer to 18 or 19 million followers. Tim referred to her as the most famous fashion influencer in the world.
I find that fascinating. Very, very interesting little slice of life that you're like, wow, there's like people out there who... this is all they do, is they just like look at stuff, they tell you what they think, and that's it. That's enough to drive fashion one direction or another.
Now, Caroline, I know you are a sunglass fashionista. What do you think of Ms. Campbell, Naomi, Ms. Campbell, if you're nasty's sunglasses there? They've got the white semicircle rim edging on the outsides.
I think they suit her very, very well. I think there's few people who can get away with them, but I think that she's got that diva tude that can get away with anything she wants.
What do we think about Juwan's look here? This is the finished look with the red, the little crop top belly showing, lots of cutouts.
I like it. I really like it. I think it's cool. I think it's cute. It definitely goes way, way young. And so I love that. I mean, you could be 13 and wearing that, you know, you could be 25 and wearing that. I mean, she's got a huge market for that.
This look right now that we're staring at, the white top, the red accents, the Korean block writing. This is what I thought we were going to get a lot of. This is what I would have thought Japanese streetwear looked like. It matches very much in my brain what I think it looks like. So I
you know, the idea of it is fine. Here's one of the things that I'm just going to always give an eyebrow to. When I think streetwear, I think city. When I think city, I think dirty. I don't know where you're going in white pants. I just think it's gross. I think you'd look nasty in a minute.
Well, something we really haven't talked about is that she uses a lot of white, almost in the same way, not to the same extent that Esther here, who we're looking at her accessible and runway looks, which are gorgeous. I really like what Esther did here, but there's not a fucking stitch of color. None. Yeah, it's like two shades of black.
Giant mistake. Giant mistake.
I think I agree with you very much. Very much. I mean, I think in another challenge, these are winning looks again for her. But this seems like a big mistake. Like Tim warned her. Anyway, the point I was making was Jawan uses as much white almost as Esther uses black. It's very interesting.
It is. What do we think here? one cool thing that I want to point out real quick about Esther's look there is it almost looked like a basketball jersey that was put over the top, which is cool and has like a lot of potential. Sandra, what do we think? Wow. I don't know.
I actually like the kimono top there. I do not get the understanding. It looks like she was like attacked by birds from her knees down. I don't understand it.
I don't understand how it has anything to do with streetwear. That's my whole thing. And look at these shoes and stuff. I don't understand the styling. I don't get why this is streetwear at all.
It's kind of like samurai meets geisha was that look, which I like the color. I actually like the colors. I like how it kind of blended, but not streetwear-y at all. This is fantastic. I love the black sheer or the organza over that print, which I've been crazy about all episode. What do you think about this? Is this popping for you?
Yeah, I really like the mesh jacket. I think it's super cool. I love that it has a hoodie because, I mean, it's like a ridiculous accessory. Who needs like a mesh hoodie, right? Like it doesn't do anything, but it's just everything there. I love how he added the tape to their actual arms. See, now that's like a cool style detail that's like, it's not really there. When you buy the coat, you don't get that, but it's like, but you get it, how to wear it. Now,
I still don't like this, though it looks much better on a model in a finished capacity than it did in the workroom.
I really like his like hat headwear, how he added the chopsticks and he made it look like it was like samurai hair. Like, I think that's cool.
What do we think about Megan here? She went with a really kind of asymmetrical designed skirt, off the shoulder top with a lot of geometric designs on the skirt. A lot of stuff going on there, but still all in black and white. So kind of clean.
Whatever. I like them as separates very much. And I like the footwear and the sock little cuff. Very cool. I don't like them together. I wish she would have paired it in a different way. Now, this look is amazing.
Yes.
I really like this very, very much. I love the red detail, the laces. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's so cool. That would just pop.
One of my favorite looks that we've seen so far, probably other than the one Johnny look with the honeycomb top. He went with a Assassin's Creed white style hood here with the grays and the whites and the black. Beautiful, I think, evening wear wise. Nothing about that's a streetwear to me. And even less so is this funeral dress coming down the escalator here.
I think it's so embarrassing how Tim is having to, you know, furrow his brow at him and be like, I don't understand what you did. Where's the look that I loved? Like, that sign of disrespect, I think, is just like,
Think about Tim standing there next to him and then having to listen to him try and justify, I told you I loved this piece and you fucking threw it out the window.
I can't. Kara's face looks like she's like physically going to throw up.
Yeah. All right. So we got Renat look here, which is a little too bluey. I call it, reminds me of like a Canadian tuxedo, even though there's no denim here. I'm not crazy about this, but I see where maybe this is a streetwear look. I'm not crazy about this look, though. What do you think of this, the blue and the blue top and very workman-like?
I think it's okay. I get what her inspiration was. I don't particularly love it. I do like the detailing. I do love the little rings, the little chains there. Like, cool. And she did think hard about it, the suspenders like along the back and stuff. I like the detailing.
I love this jacket. I love it with the fishnets. It reminds me of a like a sleeping bag I would just want to curl up inside of. and I mean that in the best possible way. I just want to touch it, you know?
As a woman, when I like pick out things, I absolutely think about the fabric being something that people would want to gravitate towards and would want to touch, whether it be soft or interesting or whatever. So yeah, I think that I would completely buy that coat.
Sabato, maybe I should listen to Tim. You think? The guy's only been doing this, you know, on TV for 20 years.
And again, just the principle of it, like it doesn't really matter what you think. If you don't go along with the guy who's got Heidi's ear, what are you doing? You know,
well, I mean, just look at the data, whether you agree or not. When he comes in and then gives you an actual feedback, not just I love it or I hate it, but gives you like critical feedback and then you ignore it. Look how that's worked out for people that have listened to him and incorporated or tried to, made an attempt to incorporate. Ooh, Kiara's skirt is very short as the judges are walking into the room versus the people who have not listened to him. It never works out well for you when you don't listen to him in any capacity. It just comes off as insulting. If I'm Sabato, I would be very worried.
That outfit that Kiara is wearing is a very Vogue Madonna bustier ensemble. Notice her details, though. Do you see on her shoulder? Do you see the clasp? How it's like gold and it's shiny and it's interesting. That's what I was talking about when we were over at with Juwan and talking about like the fact that she chose very clunky plastic. I would have been interested if she chose something with some interest, like the little accessories are on Kiara's outfit.
So one thing,
it's a very different look, but
one thing we did not talk about was tonight's winner has a chance to make a co-branded look with Puma, which again, we talked about the branding and the designs and Adidas, Puma. These are got very much known for their branded high-end streetwear. So that's an awesome opportunity for whoever ends up winning tonight. Quickly before we start, who are you worried about? Who do you think did great here? Real quick.
I'm super worried about Sabato. I think he is doomed. I really did like what Johnny did. I really, really liked his. And I think we both agree that Renat's jacket was killer.
I agree. I think Bernard's jacket, I think Johnny's honeycomb prints were tops. I actually did like Jawan's white outfit. I agree with you. Maybe it's not great white in the streetwear setting. I'm worried about Sabato. I am worried about Esther because the lack of color, as much as I liked her pieces in another challenge, they probably would have been my favorites. But in this challenge, I feel like she just completely missed the mark. So I'm worried about her. I'm worried about Sabato.
You know, I understand that Renat's idea is this, the Japanese worker, but to me, I don't really see how choosing something that was so extremely plain and kind of like universally plain, like a plain, you know, sky blue jumpsuit, I probably would have shied away from that and tried to pick something that seemed more like you only see this in Tokyo.
So it's really interesting, I just because it's fresh while she's talking about it. She's talking about how this is the first time she can remember in a long time using color and going way outside her comfort zone. And look how it kind of paid off for her. Even if you didn't like the look, the judges clearly liked her look. And I agree with you. The construction worker, maybe I can see the inspiration there. I didn't think it translated great, but the judges liked it. And if nothing else, she went balls to the wall with the color and really outside of comfort zone. And I totally believe her. She's dressed completely in black right now in front of the judges. I think that's a huge contrast when you compare what Esther did, who also always works in black, only wears black, only creates in black. And then tonight stayed in black. I think what Renat did makes Esther look worse.
I agree with that. I think that you have to be willing to jump through some amount of hoops for the judges. And I understand when people have that attitude of this is my brand and I am not going to change anything about it. However, you're in a competition show and these are challenges. It's like saying, you know, if you were to run an obstacle course and you're like, I always only jog. And you're like, no, but at this part you need to sprint. And like, you just have to change and adjust. So it's like, I don't know, you can't come in so stuck in your ways. You need to be able to take your taste and your style. No one's asking you to change that. And apply it to the challenge. Don't ignore the challenge.
Right. Which is what I think the judges are looking for is can you keep your brand identity while adapting to these other things? You know, if Vera Wang was asked to make a streetwear look, though she's known for beautiful gowns, I don't think she would just say, no, I'm going to make a bridal gown streetwear look. No, she's a fucking professional and knows how to use her design and aesthetic and her brand and adapt it to something else, you know? And I think that's what Renat showed. And I think Johnny too, You know, neither of these look exactly like what we've seen from them before, but you can also see them in it. You know,
well, you know what part of the challenge is with this in real life is that while it's not going to be a fictitious challenge you're given, the world is going to dictate style in a lot of ways. And so you as a brand have to be able to pivot and be able to create looks that jive with like what is cool right now. And yes, maybe you're a front runner and you can try to dictate some of that, but you're not going to be able to dictate everything. So if you can't, you know, adjust and twist a little bit and go with what your consumers are looking for, your brand is going to die.
So it's interesting. You're 100% right. If you can't have a wide base, then you're relying too much on a niche group that's going to grow old and die one day, and who's going to be left to buy your clothes. This is an interesting defense of why they think they should win. And I'm convinced by Renat's proposition that she really took the Harajuku culture and went with it in a way that's very much outside her comfort zone and very much what the judges asked them to do. And Johnny, I think, made great clothes and did adopt it, but not to the extent that Renat did.
You know what? I really see a huge thing about what he's doing, and I applaud him. He is listening to the challenge, thinking about who are the influential people. And he said, I would be the best match for Puma. What a smart thing to say, because they are inclined to not, you know, embarrass themselves and want to go along with, you know, this co-branding idea. Renat, I really love her jacket and I would absolutely wear it. I really love Johnny's items, but with it being a three-piece outfit that they would have to create, I think that's a problem. I think Renat stands to do better here with a single jacket.
So Naomi is casting a ballot here and she casts it for Renat. Oh, good. Very happy for both these guys. They both made a piece I didn't really like, but they both made a piece that was probably my favorite for this challenge. So
I like Renat so much because look at what a natural person she is. I love that she seems stylish and like she has like a certain look about her. And at the same time, like she barely seems like she doesn't have any makeup on. She doesn't have big jewelry like Esther wears or, you know, a kitschy anything. Like it's just her face. She's got a little bit of more like kind of wild stylish hair. But I like her. There's something about her that just says like, I know who I am and I'm an individual, like just being me.
Yeah, totally. I totally agree. That's the exact vibe I get off of her. Someone that'd be really easy to just kind of hang out with and talk to, probably doesn't speak a whole lot until they're comfortable, but then you can't get them to shut up, you know, but not ostentatious, doesn't think very, isn't like overblown ego, all that kind of vibes for me from her. So
now coming right off of Renat, who just seems like she's just naturally herself. Do you feel like Esther and just her whole aesthetic, just looking at her with her hat and her hair and the gold and the everything, does she seem too like contrived as like a look?
No, only because it's very much, if anything, I find her to be a very outgoing kind of German. You know, I think culturally, I think Israelis and Germans are just kind of very different people. And I think both of them represent people that I have known from both countries in a way. Like Esther, I think, is actually very outgoing for where she's come from. You know, there is a very staid, the black is not uncommon. The black is a very known thing with like the German designers going, you know, well mocked and everything going back to like Schrockets. But I find her actually kind of outgoing and gregarious and maybe a little ostentatious with all the gold and stuff. I think she's genuine. I guess that's my point. I find her very genuine. I think she's just super stubborn. I think she is afraid to go outside of her comfort zone in a paralyzing kind of way.
That makes sense. I guess what I mean by her whole look and her whole just aesthetic generally is she just feels like she takes a lot of time to think about, you know, finding those gold things and bothering to put on all those, even though it probably doesn't even make sense to her work day to like be wearing all those bracelets and all that, everything. Like her actual aesthetic just seems very planned as opposed to Renat's that seems very natural. Like it's just there. She just has an energy about her.
All right. So Naomi is calling her out for what you were just talking about, that you limit yourself unnecessarily when you just create in black. Not everyone just wears black. Black doesn't always work well when you shop online, which is you know, what you were talking about with you're limiting your base unnaturally.
Yeah. And you have to be willing. I mean, this is, I love what Joseph's saying. You've got to be willing to grow because your business in order to have longevity has got to be able to take what is going on in the world. What are the cool things in pop culture right now? And you have to be able to move with it. You can't, if you just say, no, I wear this and this is, and black is the only thing. Well, you know, right. There could be a time when that's just not the thing.
I think everything you need to know was summed up when she said, I'm not rejecting color, but it needs to be my decision. And then they cut to Tim, who makes a face like he just smelled a fart when she says that. And I think that sums up everyone's kind of opinion. That being said, she's safe. I mean, I don't think there was any way they were getting rid of her. She's a two-time winner. She's won, you know, she won two out of the four previous challenges. They weren't going to get rid of her, but I got to think she has burned through a lot of goodwill tonight.
Oh boy, our Geppetto. I feel like he is not going to be long for this world, Mike.
So we're talking to Sabato. Caroline, it strikes me as a little weird, and I know you would pick up on this kind of thing. What Sabato designs and produces versus, say, the shirt, the top he is wearing currently, which clearly he did not design himself. That's kind of a bold shirt, an edgy shirt he's wearing versus the staid outfits he creates. How do you reconcile Sabato? Makes sense of him for me.
I am willing to bet that he maybe even did design that top because he does seem to wear a lot of his own stuff. But I think that like the visual interest that he chooses for himself is shocking that he doesn't bring to his designs. Like he knows that that shirt is visually interesting with the gradation and everything. And yet he rejected the outfit that Tim loved, even though it had all that dimension to it. It was so cool with the like kind of naturally wrinkle part of the material. It really had like a movement to it of its own that would have echoed his desire for those flowing patterns, but it was like movement in a different way. It was interesting.
Can you imagine having Heidi Klum say to you, boy, oh boy, what is this coming down the runway today? I think I would just curl up and cry, you know, and let's give a lot of credit to Tim here, who, you know, the idea that he rejected outright Tim's, you know, preferred design after saying he liked it. And he still says to the judges, there's a lot here with Sabato. He has a lot to offer. He doesn't
That's what makes Tim such a respectable guy, that he, you know, at the end of the day, it isn't about him. You know, I have a question for you, Mike. He bothered to make the hood with his logo, but that other black look didn't even have his logo incorporated in it in any way. What the Joe?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, look at Naomi crying here because she knows what has to happen. I really actually like that top. This is just not the challenge. I really like the dress that he made in the backup, but not for this challenge. It's so far off the mark. It's like he threw a dart and missed the dartboard completely.
I feel so angry when you have designers who just absolutely throw away the actual challenge and just do whatever they want to make. That's the kind of crap you do in maybe the first or second challenge when you just like don't have your bearings yet. But for God's sake, I mean, once you get to this part, you've got to execute what they ask you to execute. It is a jumping through hoops game.
Yeah. When you need to meet a challenge and you don't, then you better pray that you fall in the Venn diagram that Esther fell into, where her natural style of making clothes matched up enough with the idea of a streetwear challenge that she was able to get away with not bringing color to it. Sabato shares nothing. His natural style that he falls back to time and time again shares nothing naturally with streetwear. And he's going home and she's safe, but only by the grace of God of a coincidence in style and versus challenge. You know, does that make sense?
What he
produces, you know, if this was, you know, Japanese formal wear, maybe he gets to stay because there's enough overlap between what he produced and that style for the challenge. But not tonight.
No. I really am curious with the changeover in judges. I wonder if, I mean, Kiara there is, I mean, she's wearing hot pink shoes. She's wearing a bright, very sassy outfit. I really wonder if we had Corinne here or even Nicole, if they would have felt differently, because Corinne especially, I think she might have had a different eye about an all black outfit, you know, coming from France and everything. She might have really felt differently about it, but I don't think that, she, you know, he just was never going to get the vote with this makeup of judges.
Well, that, and who else are you sending home then, though? That's the other question is, who else are you sending home? Because assuming someone has to go home, everyone else hit the challenge to some degree. I think the only other one that legitimately maybe deserved to go home tonight is Esther, because, again, I think it was coincidence that she found somewhat the mark with the challenge, but not with real intention. She was in some ways as disrespectful of Tim's advice as Sabato, but her outfit just happened to link up better with what the challenge was. But who else are you sending home? I know you weren't crazy about Jawan's outfit, but it was, I think, pretty on the mark for a segment of the population that wears that kind of streetwear. You know, they said, Sandra, we're not talking to you, but we love your designs. Maybe Megan, but I mean, she was invisible this episode. And I think her second outfit was gorgeous. Megan's second, even if you don't like the asymmetrical white skirt that she put together, the second look was fantastic with the red.
Remind me of the second look, because I'm remembering it very easily. The first look, what was the second one, was with the red ties, right?
The red ties,
the laces, top,
and I think a black bottom.
That sounds right.
Right, which screams what this challenge was. So who do you send home? So I think even Corrine, you would hope, if they were being honest for what this challenge was, you know, I don't know what the state of streetwear is in France, but if you're in Japan and you are taking stock of what these people produced, he's the only one that makes sense to go home, I think.
I think you're right. I think it is one of those things where it's like, it's no longer that you didn't exactly meet the challenge. It really has to do with like you versus everyone else. And everyone else just did a way better job and they got it better, which is so sad because he has such an interesting look, but you know, the whole Venn diagram part, it just could not mix. It just couldn't.
Yeah. You know, and we talked about at the beginning of this episode, he's got a hard ceiling on creativity. You know, he definitely has an eye for fashion. He definitely seems to understand what looks good and what does not. But he seems to have a problem putting it beyond the just design stage. You know, production wise, we saw tonight, he produced something that was out of his comfort zone. And it wasn't just that he didn't like what he produced. He scrapped it. He scrapped it and literally went back to a similar design that he has done now for previous episodes. He showed us nothing new, which just tells me that he can't. He's got a hard ceiling on how far he can grow. He's in his own, a box of his own making.
That very much, because I think he's capable of a lot of other things. And even, you know what? It's like that part that we saw, that mentoring little portion of him when he was trying to help Martha in that first episode. And we both were like, look at him. Look at how capable he is. Look at how confident he is and how easy he is to try to help someone else. I feel like all of that got stripped away from him over the course of the last couple of episodes, to the point where this person at the end, we're spending all of our time like smoking outside, sitting on the loading dock, doing all this other stuff. And then he comes out with these very simplistic designs that just like don't address the challenge. You're like, if you had spent a little less time smoking and a little more time working, I think you could have made something better.
Right. But again, he's Ron Burgundy in a glass case of his own emotion. He's so paralyzed by the challenge, he's so paralyzed, it seems, by the work that he can't actually execute the work. So he's, in a lot of ways, he seems probably much better suited to being, he's probably much better suited to being a judge or a Tim Gunn type than a person doing it.
Absolutely see that. I could 100% see him, you know, being a teacher and being someone to be supportive and encouraging and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, I just don't think he's capable of really going through the rejection and the challenges that would come forward with being a major global brand. I mean, give me a break.
And just the pressure of working in that kind of boiler room atmosphere, where you do have to sometimes produce at least a concept, an executable concept in a short amount of time. You know, he started off this episode by saying that he was an old school designer. Brother, everything about you is old school. You know, like you're not just your fantastic salt and pepper, you know, beard that you're rocking. You know, fashion is a young person's game, and not in an age wise, but in a nimbleness of mind kind of way. You know, the ability to make connections here, there, everywhere, quickly, to be able to adapt. I think these are things, hallmarks of being able to excel in this kind of environment, in high fashion, at this level. And I just don't think he's got that.
Yeah. I'm sad to see him go. I really am, because he is somebody that I really appreciated. And I really feel like he had an interesting design aesthetic, but it was so one note, Mike. I mean, by the third episode, I was like, are you for real? Is he sending that down again?
Right. And I think it's important to note a difference between having a brand and having an identifiable look and being one note. You know, Jawan has an identifiable brand. Johnny has an identifiable brand. Sabato was one note. You know, but he seemed like a generally likable guy. I don't think it's easy to make Naomi Campbell cry, nor do I think she feels any pressure to have fake tears. And she was crying because she knew she couldn't defend him. She wasn't going to do another Troy here and put her neck on the line, because it was just so far afield from what he was supposed to do.
Fun extra fact, Troy is actually an instructor at Parsons. How about that?
Ooh,
I know.
Well, maybe he teaches classes on how to steal other people's sewing machines.
Ooh, burn.
what an interesting little thread we're seeing here. So let's go back a couple episodes. So we have Will, who gets told, you're on our bubble. He goes home the next week, in the same week that Troy is almost on the bubble. And so the next episode with him, he takes Sabato's sewing machine and ends up going down in flames himself and gets thrown out of the episode. Sabato, who was having breakdowns last episode, couldn't get the job done tonight and went home.
Here's my extra thread then. I think that despite the fact that I don't think that Esther deserves to go home, if you're going to keep going with like kind of karma or behavior, Esther's snotty remark about there's no second chances, no one here deserves a second chance, that she was saying when Sabato was going home there, I'm like, you just put some bad juju on you. And I'm not saying her designs deserve to go home, but that feels like bad juju. It's like Troy stealing the sewing machine. Like, what are you doing, girl?
I said it before and I'll say it again, but I think she burned through a lot of the goodwill she had built up in those first two challenges tonight, only because there was such another noticeable failure in the challenge that she avoided a lot more scrutiny than she would have otherwise gotten. All of these people are good at what they do at this point. There are no bad designers here. Every single person still in this competition, even Sander, has produced at least a piece that I have liked, if not more than one piece. And many of them have produced multiple pieces that I've liked. And I want to speak for you, but I think you probably feel the same way.
I do. I definitely do.
All of these people have proven that they deserve to be here. These are competent, beyond competent professional designers, sewers, craftsmen, making great designs in a very limited time frame. They all deserve to be here. So you need to be the very best you can be, or else you go home.
This is the point. This is definitely the point of it, where you get to this limited number of people. And it's like, dude, two people went home, you know, previous weeks. Like, you don't know what's going to happen. You got to just keep trucking and do your very best. And I just thought, you know, Sabato was too reserved. He just held it back way too much. He needed to go like pedal to the metal, show everything you got. Not what he did. So,
I think at the end of the day, I think you were exactly right. That's what he needed to do. But I think he is just unable to do that. So
look forward to him on a reunion show.
I'm sure if they came out with a reunion show for Tiger King, I'm sure they're going to come out with one for this. Great episode. What a way to start the middle point of the season. We have 5 episodes left, 4 more challenges, and then the finale episode. It's going to be pretty fun watching these guys come down to the end of the wire here in Tokyo.
I'm excited. Do you feel like there's anybody who stands out to you right at this point that like really is just going to knock it out of the park?
I mean, I feel like Johnny is cresting a wave. I feel like the shine is off of Jawan a little bit tonight. I feel like she was just so ignored. Her and Megan were just so ignored, which is so weird because they have so much more time to devote to all of the designers now. So for them to not spend a lot of time, no time on Megan and very little time on Jawan, I'm really curious why that is. I feel like Renat is cresting a wave. I feel like Johnny I think they're both cresting a wave. Johnny now for 2 episodes. Renat has been kind of coming out of the middle of the pack slowly, but I feel like really emerged tonight as someone to maybe take down Esther. You know, going right now, Esther came out of the gate hot, but Renat seems to be the one kind of in the middle of the pack, and now kind of rising from the pack. So
I am also going to throw out the idea that just knowing my reality TV show stuff, I feel like I'm going to say that Sander being so quiet for the first five episodes and being just really just not somebody I've paid a ton of attention to me, he stands to go for a long time here, because we've got plenty of footage. We haven't even told your whole backstory. We don't even know what you're here for or whatever. All the extra footage hasn't even been used yet on you. So I kind of see him going for a long time.
You're probably right, too, because they do spend time with him always in the workroom, but it's always in a really kind of playful way where, you know, he's working with Johnny and promising him to split the $1 million, or, you know, putting the mesh on himself and asking if it looks like a skin disease tonight. You know, like, they always show him. Megan, other than in the background of some stuff, I don't know that we talked to her at all, really, you know, but mm-hmm. Sander always gets screen time, but even when they're not highlighting his outfits, I guess maybe his design doesn't stick with me. I still find it very hard after an episode ends to remember what he did, but I remember like him being kind of goofy and fun, you know, and competitive, and, you know, just, he seems like someone that makes probably the workroom an interesting place to be. But you're probably right. The edit that they're giving him probably bodes well that he's going to go far.
It feels like a gradual positivity trend for him that, you know, right. Hey, you know, don't pay too much attention, but look what a great guy he is.
Right.
We're just I can see good things happening. Yeah, for right. sure. And, you know, Renat, I feel like she is somebody to beat as well. She's really strong. I'm really sad about J1. I'm like, what happened to you, girl? I don't know if the pressure's getting to her or what, or if she's just starting to run out of ideas, but I expected a big bang out of her.
You know, Johnny said at the beginning of this episode that this was his challenge to lose. And I love that he felt that confidence. But for me, this was Jawan's challenge to lose. And, you know, she did not rise to it. So.
Ooh. Well, thanks so much for listening, you guys. We hope that you've enjoyed this episode of Stitching and Bitching.
I'm Mike.
And this is Caroline.
Thank you for listening. This has been an original Pod Clubhouse production. Pod Clubhouse is a podcast network dedicated to encouraging collaboration among podcasters and friends to bring a fresh voice and diverse perspective on a wide array of content. Please visit and leave a comment for us at podclubhouse.com. Rate, review, and subscribe to our podcast feeds on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. You can find us at Pod Clubhouse. Our DMs are always open, and we'd love to hear from you.